334, no tax.
Hey everybody, Kate Delaney here as we swing into hump day across America. Hope your week is off to a good start, and if it's not, we're right in the middle. That means you just keep looking forward and you just get through it. You just get it done and you move toward the days off. How many of us live like that? Ugh. Anyway, we've got a bunch of stuff that we're going to do on this hour of America Tonight that I think you'll enjoy. Right from the top, though, a couple of stories that we'll talk about that have made huge news lately, and it's the whole WikiLeaks thing, WikiLeaks.org. If you go there, you can see with your own eyes, if you can get through, because now the site will often crash on a lot of people as so many. Not that we weren't all familiar with it, but more people are getting familiar with it, and they're going to look at the classified documents that talk about Afghanistan and the fact that you've got two different tales here. One, where you hear someone like Senator John Kerry saying that there's nothing that's given away. There aren't any details that are given away. But then at the same time, you read accounts of others who have poured through it, and there are informants that are pretty clearly named in the documents. And that means to me, if you've got all these informants that are listed, they better run for the hills, literally, because the Taliban most certainly would go after the people who are ratting them out. And the idea in a mountainous, difficult terrain to master and to try to win over the favor of the people, the Afghanistan people, you certainly don't want to burn them. And if these people get burned, that's exactly what's going to happen. So, in looking at the leaks, there is some significance there. Also, gaining a lot of notoriety as a result of it is the man responsible for WikiLeaks and why he started WikiLeaks to make money. He says to also run clean journalism out there so people can find out for themselves what's going on. And I think that was what was behind the Afghanistan classified documents. If you looked at them, besides weaving in the informants that they don't, you have to connect the dots to. But besides some of that, there are also the civilian casualties and what happened. And I believe that was more the way that it was slanted, is put it up there and let's see if any heads roll on this one. So Julian Assange is the guy who started WikiLeaks, and he talked about the idea of free speech, baby.
The U.S. free speech tradition is one of our biggest supporters. I mean, in some ways, what we are doing is taking the First Amendment and giving it to the world.
There you go. He says he's given for a price, the First Amendment to the world. I mean, I really don't have a beef with this guy. Just like anyone else on the Internet, he's trying to make money on an idea that he has that he feels pretty strongly about. Here's what he said about the idea of the propaganda for the Taliban.
Not so. People who commit war crimes or similarly abusive actions, they hand the enemy propaganda victories.
So we'll see how that all shakes out. The Pentagon hasn't said much other than no massive secrets were given out. I tend to disagree because of those informants. To me, that's the saddest thing of this whole deal. If any of them end up dead, then that's going to kill whatever momentum those soldiers have been working on. We move from that to what's going on now in Korea and North Korea, specifically the South Koreans. We know the tale now with the sinking of the submarine and the 46 dead soldiers. Now you have massive war exercises going on to kind of shove it in the face of the North Koreans. Absolutely. The United States, the biggest aircraft carrier I believe we have, very close in, let's put it this, missile lobbing distance of North Korea, I believe in a effort to say, If you want to kick sand in our face, we're willing to do it back to you. So just look out. Here are some of our toys on display for you. Will you come forward, accept sanctions, admit that you sunk the ship, the South Korean ship, and killed the sailors? I don't believe that's going to happen. Rear Admiral Dan Cloyd, this was his take on Korea not menacing anybody.
Our intent is not to provoke reactions from any nation, be it North Korea or any other here in the Western Pacific region. It's to demonstrate our readiness, our interoperability, our collective resolve.
Do you think Kim Jong-il had a doubt about the readiness of the U.S.? I'm just saying. But it's impressive. If you look at what's been trotted out, there's a lot of pretty slick military hardware. Rick in Illinois, you're our leadoff man. How are you?
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you, man?
Oh, just got to work. Hey, I found a third-party candidate.
Who?
He's the sheriff in Arizona. Got those prisoners on the outside in the cage living
yeah.
in tents.
It's Jeff Arpaio, and Jeff, it's Sergeant Arpaio, easy for me to say, Joe. I keep saying Sergeant, Sheriff Joe. And Sheriff Joe couldn't be more popular with some, but Rick, some hate him. They think he's a bigot, a racist, or whatever. I think it's great what he did because there wasn't room. He didn't have room for all the people that they were picking up, all the criminals that were in Arizona illegally that still are there that are committing crimes, some of them
yeah.
very serious. I think he proved a point.
Yeah, and they try to hammer him because he ain't treating them right. But like he said, our troops in Afghanistan and Iraq live in these tents. Good enough for them. It's good enough for these prisoners.
Yeah, I agree. He makes some of them wear, like, pink jumpsuits. I think it's great.
Yeah, pink socks and all that.
Sure.
So I think he'd be a good one to run.
He'd take a hard line, that's for sure, and he wouldn't back down. He doesn't back down. I love it when people call him on the carpet. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what they think. He doesn't care what the federal government thinks. He doesn't care. He just does what he does.
I think he's like middle America, you know?
I agree.
Tell it the way it is. That's the way it should be, you know?
I agree. Why have this veil? How he interprets things or what he has to do, and he says that I'm the sheriff. This is what I do. I'm
yeah.
doing what I was sworn to do, what I love
yeah.
to do, and what I'm trying to do for the people in this area.
Yeah, and he said I'm just doing my job, and people
that's right.
put me back in, so I must be doing okay. So
yeah,
I think
people,
he'd be a good one myself.
The people in Maricopa County really like him, but there
yeah.
are people, there are other people around the state that would try to shoot that down as fast as possible. But I'd say good for Sheriff. I say good for Sheriff Joe. Absolutely. I hope he achieves whatever he wants to.
I think there'd be more people for him than would be against him.
Yeah, I think there would be more people for him if he was running for a bigger office. I'm not so sure. It might get sticky with the opinions that are in some of the bigger areas in Arizona, but I'm glad you brought him up. I like him, and he's going to be stuck with the whole enforcement issue if there's no block on Thursday, if this law kicks in, the so-called new immigration law in Arizona. Rick, thanks for the call. Stay with us. More to come here on ATN.
Nine years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old, live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms. I get it. You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Protect your freedoms and be independent by learning how to maintain, repair, and customize your own firearms through these exclusive video training courses on DVD from the American Gunsmithing Institute. Call and get a free 2-hour sampler DVD video and catalog. See just how quickly and easily you can learn firearm disassembly and reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much, much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. Courses available for both the hobbyist and the professional. You can even get certified as a gunsmith to make money part-time, full-time, or as a retirement income doing what you love. Call 1-800-247-5032 to order your free sampler DVD and catalog. That's 1-800-247-5032. Call now and get a bonus $10 saving coupon. 1-800-247-5032 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com, your source for how-to gunsmithing videos.
Everybody listening to America Tonight, how we feel about people who take religion and manipulate it and use it for terroristic reasons. And what weighs heavy on many people's minds, as we know, and you have espoused it many times here on these airwaves, is what has happened recently with some of the homegrown problems, too, like Fazal Shazad, for example, the guy who almost blew up a little portion of Times Square. Who knows what the destruction would have been there. The Fort Hood shootings, and we could list a lot of others, too. The Christmas Day would-be bomber, Abdullah Muttalib. And it all traces back to one thing, radicalized Islamists. And we often say, where are the great Muslim people who many of us know in our lives who aren't out there saying, listen, this is not who we are. This is a nutball slice minority of people who use the Muslim religion for violent, incredibly sick reasons and, you know, use it for terrorist attacks. So who better to have on this show than Dr. Dave Liepert, who is somebody who was a Christian, converted to Islam, and says that, yes, the religion has been overtaken by a minority of radicals, but isn't it time to stand up, talk about it, and find a different way. Hey, Doc, thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Let's, first of all, let's talk about your transition, how you started off in the Christian religion, then you converted, and how that came about for you and what you saw in making that transition back when you did it.
Well, you know, it's all about purity of the message, because it doesn't matter what religion you follow. There is a message that is from God that's at the core of it. And every one of our religions, you were talking about this from the context of Islam, but it happens to every one of our religions. They end up having that message manipulated sometimes for political reasons, sometimes for marketing reasons. But when you look at what the message actually is to all people, it pretty much comes down to love of God and love of neighbor, and really no special deals for anybody. And one of the difficulties that we're struggling with in Islam right now is, as you say, the radical Islamists. And more than anything else, they're manipulating Islam to increase their own personal power, rather than using it for the purpose that every religion has, which we all join up with them theoretically for the good reason that we want to use it to make ourselves better people tomorrow than we were today. And then there are some people who try to yank it to their own purposes. But I was talking to one of your national security advisors earlier in the week, and he was quoting me stuff that troubles him about Islam, stuff from the days of Thomas Jefferson and the war between America and the Barbary Coast pirates. And he was quoting me those things as if they were Islam today. And radical Islamists do the same thing. But the thing is, I pointed out to him that was a time when Christianity was being used to justify racism and slavery and things like that. And the thing that got Christianity back to the way it's supposed to be, or at least closer to the way it's supposed to be, is the example of Jesus, peace be upon him. That, in fact, the evangelical call is to fidelity to the primary exemplar. And paradoxically, in Islam, too, the thing that actually will bring the religion back to the way it's supposed to be is remembering the way it was in the very beginning. Because you have this incredible society that was founded by this incredible man, Muhammad, peace be upon him, and he created a society with rights and freedom and justice for all, regardless of race, creed, or gender, which is so close to America, it's actually why mainstream Muslims love America and why there are so many coming to this country. It's not because we want to change it. It's because it's actually very close to the way Islam was in the beginning. It's very close to the way we're all supposed to be treating each other now.
So how do you bridge that gap? How do you, you know, in other words, we're seeing that the problems in New York with the idea of building the center, the Cordova Initiative, which I'm sure you're familiar with, and they want to build it close to Ground Zero, and now there's a lot of protests from the people, from the families of the people who were killed on September 11th, you know, back in 2001, and there's been this controversy that's dusted up over it. How do you bridge the gap, I guess, is what I'm saying. In other words, how do you, you talked about having that conversation with one of the national security advisors. So how do you reach out? How do you change that? How do you change what's out there as far as the Muslim religion is concerned?
You know, I was just having an argument with the chair of the Canadian Council of Imams about the Cordova Initiative's plans and how we actually disagree about the potential there. Because I look at it and I say this is an opportunity for peace. It's actually going to be a lightning rod for controversy that could actually backfire. Whereas he thinks that it's just trying to go too far too fast because he's much more worried about the backfiring. Because the difficulty, the thing that drives us apart is the alienation. The thing that gentleman, the Fort Hood massacre, that was a U.S. Army officer who loved this country, but he began to feel so alienated from the people around him that he started to identify with radicals on the other side of the planet. And that's the same thing that happened to the Times Square bombing attempt. It's the same thing that happened to the Christmas Day bombing attempt. These are actually mainstream guys who end up starting to feel so alienated from mainstream society that they start identifying with the radicals. And the thing that we can all do is to realize that, you know what? We're all on the same side if we're using our religion for what it's supposed to be, which is to make us better tomorrow than it is today. And we are all opposed to the idiots who try to use religion for their own political power. And it doesn't matter what religion you follow. Whatever decision you make around that central question defines which side you're on. And it's to try to end this alienation that, the violence and the misinformation and the rank hatred that sometimes crops up on either side is it contributes to the alienation. And people like the Canadian Council of Imams, people like myself, and I serve on the Muslim Council of Calgary, and I work with the Canadian Council of Imams, and I know there are many great Muslim organizations in the States that include the Cordova Initiative. They're actually trying to build bridges to end the alienation so that we can work together for the shared purpose of peace that is at the core of every religion that we've got.
Yeah. We only have a couple of minutes left, and boy, we could wrestle with this one for a long time philosophically and otherwise. But the wars in Afghanistan, I was talking about that before you came on, and well, really, I was focusing on Iraq and some missing money. But Iraq and Afghanistan, what's happened there, and how do Muslims feel about what's going on there and the military strikes also in Pakistan?
Oh God, the mainstream Muslim opinion is that radical Islamists have done more damage to Muslims. They've killed more Muslims than they have done to non-Muslims. When you look at the body count, radical Islamists are actually responsible for vastly more Muslim deaths, and they're responsible for this incredible alienation. They're responsible for the fact that anytime something blows up, everyone looks at me or any other Muslim around us. We actually feel, a lot of us feel, that the radical Islamists are at war with Muslims and Islam. And the tragedy is they have duped many, many good people in all of our countries to actually fighting on their side against Muslims because they've got they hide behind ideology and they hide behind youths that they're able to suborn to their purposes, and they just bring about death and destruction all around the planet. And we need to realize that Muslims don't support the death and destruction. We support Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the example of his life. And the first three generations of Muslims who are kind of, they're the ultimate people that are supposed to be guiding us. I'll just give you one really quick example. The ayah that says, fight the people.
Hey, Dr. Dave, hang on. We're going to meet you on the flip side for the rest of that story.
You worry, but only because you're paying attention. What's happening in the Gulf of Mexico illustrates an audacity toward nature. A similar audacity called GMO, or genetically modified organisms, means that the quality of commercially grown food may be compromised with our health in the balance. Now that summer's here, what better time to learn about the bounty that nature provides in wild edible food? Let author Linda Runyon show you the best-kept secret in plain sight that food is everywhere you look. This summer, for the cost of a good meal or two out, you can literally starvation-proof yourself and your loved ones against any future craziness and put up tons of free food, too. Whatever experiment is being run on us, you can rest assured that Linda's 50 or so staple foods aren't involved. Our foods are their enemy. So go to ofthefield.com or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and take that first step. Make your oasis of food security and nutrition now. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-513-2837. Start now and make 2010 your year of independence.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
And I think it really does make a difference.
We are the GCN Radio Network. Yes, yes, yes.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuarantee.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LightBreeze wind generator kit starts charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
Dr. Dave Liefert, and we've been talking about he's somebody who was born a Christian and then converted to Islam, and a part of what he's doing is talking about mainstream Muslims and that there is a path to peace. And we were just talking about that, Doc. We were talking about how radical Islamists, what actually has happened, that they've killed more Muslims. They've duped a lot of people, and some of the things that have happened, and it's that whole ideology vein. And you were going to tell us a story, and pick it up from there. Tell us the story.
Well, thanks very much for giving me a little bit more time to talk. I know I've been talking a fair bit. This is just an example of a story from Islam that has been turned around. My book, Muslim, Christian, and Jew, Finding a Path to Peace that Our Faith Can Share, I've got a lot of stories from all three religions, but the ayah that says that Muslims should fight the people of the book until they know themselves to be subdued, that Islamists and Islamophobes together claim means that Muslims have to fight with Jews and Christians, it was actually revealed in a very specific context. There were about 25,000 Muslims alive at the time. They had heard rumors that there was this army of 250,000 Christians and Jews who were going to come down and exterminate them all. And so they issued from the gates of Medina expecting to have a fight to the death. So this ayah they got, it really kind of confounded them because they were outnumbered 10 to 1, and yet they're told fight them only until they know themselves to be subdued. And instead of finding an army that was going to exterminate them, they found a bunch of people who wanted to live together in peace. And so that ayah, instead of telling them to fight, told them not to fight. and brought a peace to the Middle East that lasted for decades. And there are so many examples in Islam and Christianity and Judaism together that actually bring peace to all of our peoples rather than bringing conflict if you actually know the meaning of the verse when it was given to the people who received it. And that's going to be the path that actually brings us all to the peace that God intends for us to have together.
Yeah. Boy, that's a nice thought, isn't it? Let me ask you this other question, because we talk about this all the time. Look, Osama bin Laden, the bad guy, the whole 9/11 thing, we could go through all of that. But let's just say bin Laden himself. I've had arguments with people over this who feel that, oh, no, there's just if bin Laden, if there was any way, there's all these rumors about if he's dead or in caves or whatever. But if he were to be caught and tried and et cetera, whichever way it went, that ultimately it would open up a bigger Pandora's box. There'd be even more destruction in the name of Allah and the Muslim faith, and these radicalized Islamists would just be fueled like nobody's business. Do you think that's true?
You know, in the Quran, there are only two crimes that carry the death penalty, and one of them is killing innocent people, and the other one is spreading mischief across the face of the earth. So if you ever capture, I read his obituary about 4 years ago, and so I'm not sure that the man is even still alive. But if he's still alive and if he's ever captured, then let him be tried and sentenced by Islamic law, and the penalty will be more severe than could be achieved by Western law these days. And that probably would be a step to peace for all of us. Just realizing that the things that he is doing and the things that he has incited other people to do is completely against all of our laws and all of our rules. And we all need to stand against people like him.
Oh, boy, I so agree with that. You read his obit. Where did you read his obit?
I read his obit when I was in Saudi Arabia.
Really? And so, yeah. You know, there were stories that kind of broke about that, but nothing was ever really flushed out. But you think that there's a good possibility that he's not even with us.
You know, there have been a couple of videos that have come out purporting to be him since that time, but the way he dyed his beard is actually completely against the rules that Muslims of his particular sect would follow. So it seems very likely that it's people using him as a symbol. He's a very potent symbol for radical Islamists and, unfortunately, for radical Islamophobes together, because he's a rallying cry for both. Well, he's a rallying cry for hatred. The man has done profound evil. Muslims were warned that we'd have apparently Arab-speaking, apparently Arab-fleshed men with the hearts of demons who had come to call the faithful to the gates of hell. And I think men like Osama bin Laden have called people Muslim, Christian, Jewish, agnostic, atheist, any religion. By calling us into conflict, they've made us start to create a hell on earth for each other. And their evil lives on, and it needs to be condemned.
Yeah. Well said. Dave Liepert, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck in all of what you're trying to accomplish, and we appreciate the time on America Tonight.
Well, thank you so much. You have a very good evening.
All right, you too. That was interesting, and there at the tail end you heard what he had to say, too, about bin Laden reading his obit in Saudi Arabia, and then the reasons why, the religious reasons why he thinks he's not alive when we debate that question, and ultimately, if you go by Islamist law, what would happen to bin Laden if perhaps that he were to be alive? But there are others who say the same thing, that they do not believe what we're seeing is real, no matter what the authentication process is with the CIA. Kind of continuing along a similar vein when we're talking about Afghanistan, remember in our previous show, the whole WikiLeaks thing? Well, apparently hundreds of Afghan lives are in a serious risk, maybe up to even 100,000 with all these intelligence documents that were released. Remember the amount of documents that were released was in that same neighborhood where it was like 92,000. And, you know, who can say what the count is, but apparently at least hundreds of them, the names are there because of what's in the documentation, and that talks about all kinds of things, as informants, identifying informants that were working with NATO forces. And if you comb through the archive, the Times of London did it. They found lots of people who were credited with giving up information, intelligence, in other words, to the guys, to the forces. And their villages are also in there for identification, and sometimes their fathers' names were printed along. So here you got this founder of WikiLeaks who claimed that all the documents released were checked for named informants, and that those documents, which there was like 15,000, were not put out there. But that's not true, because going through the detailed logs, you can see informants' names, particularly some of the tribal elders. And the Afghan government is beyond upset. Of course, they react with a horror and frustration to the volume of information in those files. The leaks definitely would have to say, in this case, put a tag on everybody's head who they can trace. It would be easy to go back and trace the names. And they're definitely in danger. Their lives are in danger, the integrity of the people. And then plus, this is where it would hurt NATO or U.S. efforts. Who's going to do that? If they see people getting killed, getting off for helping the Americans, who's going to want to help them? So now the U.S. is even more complicit in this thing for prying open what's happened in Afghanistan, but also for the fact that these leaks, because they were documents, Pentagon documents, classified documents, might cause people to be murdered, the people who are named on WikiLeaks. So, you know, if anything, this is going to shut that door to information that could be released that wouldn't have involved people's names. That's going to shut that door even more, I think. So the Pentagon still sticks to this claim that the preliminary review of the secret reports that are released didn't really pose any kind of immediate threat to the U.S., to any of our soldiers, but they warned that the Taliban and Al-Qaeda would probably be using the info to identify and target the informers. Well, duh, of course, because the names are out there. That is the worst possible thing that could happen to those people. Because, listen, without the informants, how do you think any intel, anything that's learned, is ever going to happen again? If you see that people are disappearing or being murdered. And remember, a lot of the stuff that's not reported that we have heard, that we've heard from Anand Gopal and other people who have come on the show, is things like people having their heads put on sticks outside of villages for ratting out Afghanistan people or the Taliban or whoever. And this would only make it that much worse in the pursuit of the informants, because, trust me, anybody with a computer would have had access to the information, because it was printed out there, or it was put on the internet for anybody to see who goes to WikiLeaks.org, if they could get in, because that's what happened. There was so much information out there that everybody wanted to see once the report started to circulate, that the system got overwhelmed with the amount of people trying to jump on board to find out what was in the documents, or try to scan through as many documents as possible. So there's definitely a couple of strikes right there. And if it didn't do any damage to the troops, the Pentagon to say it didn't do any damage to the troops, I think is wrong, because obviously it does do damage. It will shut down that highway of information, because who is going to cooperate? I don't care what you give them. I don't care if you give them guns and food and whatever. You'd have to get them out of Afghanistan and give them a different kind of life, the people who are turning in the villages. There's just no way they could survive that, and they know that. They're not stupid. They see what the Taliban does, and like I said, with the heads on the sticks. Coming up on the flip side, we've got odds and ends, so stick with us, locked and loaded on America Tonight.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Gulf War vets,
9/11 workers,
people around the Gulf oil spill fumes,
all were exposed to toxic chemicals in the air and became ill.
Even in your home, air contamination can make you sick.
You have been exposed to airborne toxic particulate matter and volatile organic compounds causing fatigue, flu-like symptoms, or worse.
Protect yourself.
You cannot trust anyone to do it for you. Clean the air in your home or workplace with a HealthMate Plus air purifier. Call airfiltersandpurifiers.com for answers on how to purify the air you breathe. Contact airfiltersandpurifiers.com and ask about the HealthMate Plus. The HealthMate Plus is capable of trapping 99.97% of all polluting particulates. Buy the HealthMate Plus today with no tax, free shipping, a 5-year warranty, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. GCN listeners get a 5% discount by using promo code GCN. Call 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com, your trusted advisor for clean air.
Across America, if you've ever heard the show before, you know how we roll here. Odds and ends means we kind of mash it all together because there are a lot of very odd stories happening, and some of them have ends, if that makes any sense to you. And really, if we stretch the bounds of the imagination, some of them are quite funny and some of them are quite serious. This one's kind of all over the map, including somewhere I read this. You know, everything's about the electric cars now and what's going to happen to the electric cars. And, the affordability, well, you wait and see what's going to happen. And I read something in the Washington Post. Most of the conversation, or a lot of it anyway, is over the Chevy Volt, the GM car. It's going to cost $41,000. And customers will have to make up their own mind, according to the report that I read, as to whether or not it's actually an environmentally appealing deal. Is it really worth a price that is head and shoulders above similarly sized conventional autos? In other words, you're paying $41,000 for a car. It's not sexy. It's not going to blow people away. You're pulling up in your and your chariot. And your chariot is just a regular Chevy, which there's nothing wrong with that, right? But the guy that could pull up next to you could have the very same make or looks the same, the car, and he paid half of what you paid. And we know this because we've talked about this. There has always been the electric car technology. Or I shouldn't say always, but for the past couple decades, they had it, and they killed it. It's like that whole movie, GM killing the electric car. But it was the high cost of making the cars that prevented a lot of people from pumping them out in mass production. So now you got these price announcements for the Volt and the Nissan Leaf, too. The Leaf is has been another one that people are talking about. And the difference there is the Leaf is going to cost a little over $32,000. And what both companies are hoping, because whether it's the $41,000, the $32,000 and change, whatever it is that the federal tax credit will be there for buying an electric car, because that would offset, that's what they would sell to you. Hey, listen, it might be sticker shock. Oh, yeah, you're getting $41,000, but guess what you can get? And then the whole idea of the fact that you're doing the electric car thing and, geez, how much is it going to cost compared to what it would cost for gasoline? Now, the Volt goes 40 miles on its battery charge and an additional 340 on a gasoline-powered generator. So, I mean, we're talking, you know, about a gallon. So the all-electric Leaf has a range of about 100 miles. Woo! And remember, this was another Obama thing because it's definitely appealing to environmentalist-type people that I'm going to put a million plug-in cars on the road by 2015. You think that'll happen? You think by 2015 there'll be at least a million electric cars on the road? Hey, you know, 40, 50 years from now, no big shakes. I think that you'll see that. But 2015, not so sure. Depends. I think it really does depend. One, it depends on the kickback. But more than the kickback, I think it also depends on proving that if you get this car, here's some of the other things that will be cheaper for you. This, and this. And then going down the list. Because that's what it's all about anyway with people that are looking for cars. Let's face it. It's about the budget. All right, you know, in our previous thing, because this would fall into odds and ends, we were just talking with Dave Liepert about bin Laden at the end there. And I happened to see a report in the London newspaper called The Mail. And they, in The Mail, they had an article about bin Laden and saying that bin Laden was seen at village meetings, even though the CIA says that they were clueless. So that bin Laden was spotted at meetings with the Taliban. But here's what the headline doesn't really tell you. That they've said this for the past 5 years, and they're talking about meetings that go back to 2005 and then 2006. And Leon Panetta, the director of the CIA, said last month that there have been no firm leads on bin Laden's whereabouts since the early 2000s. So no firm leads. Yay. You know, maybe there is some credibility to the whole, here's his obit, he's done. I would say that would be a crazy way to end a guy who took down way too many people for a radical, ridiculous cause when he was, once again, somebody who had, if you look at the background of bin Laden, he was somebody who might have been disillusioned or whatever, or was able to radicalize a lot of people with his ideas. But he came for money. He had privilege around him. Ugh. But we'll save that discussion for another hour of America tonight. All right, as we move along, here's an interesting thing that's now happened. You know, I'm not much on the daytime TV, but maybe some of you are. Maybe some of you third shifters, you get home, you're sleeping in late, you go off and you do whatever you're going to do, and before you go to work, and you flip on the tube, and it's mindless time where you just don't want to even think about what you're watching, and you flip around. A lot of people really like Judge Judy. The judge shows are popular anyway. So Judge Judy apparently has gotten incredible ratings, just crushing Oprah. who's going away, what, I think in a year and change or whatever it is. So Judge Judy averaging $6.15 million to Oprah's $3.7 million. Wow, what's up with that? Oprah was down 20% if we looked at last week versus the same week last year when the show was in repeats. Judge Judy is up 16%, like I just said, versus last year when it was also in repeats. So Judge Judy is topping out pretty high. The Ellen DeGeneres show is another one of those daytime shows. See, I haven't really seen any of these shows other than little clips here and there, but was out of the top 25 and got like a 1.6 as far as viewers. Yeah, it wouldn't be on my radar, but it is interesting that I think people like that, the controversy, the people facing off, and whether it looks like a fake little court or not, as to whatever the rulings are. But there was something to it because those shows have had a long run with a lot of different judges. I mean, how many of those shows are there? Matt, have you ever seen that? There's probably got to be. There's the divorce court. And I'm somebody who hasn't even watched a whole show. But I'm thinking there's probably like at least six judge shows at any given time that are on with six different judges.
I stay away from all the courtroom programming. I do not get involved in that whatsoever. There's so much better stuff on during the day.
I agree.
So, I don't know. I never got into that.
Me either. Or any of that the drama stuff. I would probably either be, if I wanted to do something mindless, I would flip on to on-demand, watch movies,
right,
or watch some Showtime or HBO Fair, or even a documentary or Discovery Channel or any of the other shows. I wouldn't click on that either, but there is definitely a market for it. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and if you don't have cable, there's still better stuff on. I mean, I honestly dated this girl who was into soap operas, and so I was kind of forced to watch them every once in a while. I'd rather watch that than watch the courtroom programming.
Yeah, I feel the same way you do. So we're in the minority. We don't understand it, but we know that there are some of you that might end up plopping down and watching it. Or if somebody's ever had a courtroom battle, whether it's the divorce situation, small claims, then there is something to the drama of that whole thing, that somebody gets socked and somebody else walks away and feels like they got theirs, I guess. It is like some of the nighttime dramas in a different way where they're portraying that. I mean, all those law shows were certainly popular, and that is courtroom related, and that's fantasy. So this goes along with the whole reality thing that is huge, just absolutely huge. All right, if you have any thoughts, you want to share them with me, you know what to do, americatonight.net.
That's an awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard.